Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 24 Communications Make It Happen podcast. I'm your host, Callie Hintze. At 24, we make it happen every day. We've built a fast-growing ad agency combining our award-winning talent with client vision, translating real results to the bottom line. Here, we'll bring you stories, content, and more from real-life entrepreneurs, just like us, who make it happen every day in their own field. We hope you leave inspired and ready to make it happen in your own life. Thanks for tuning in. Okay, thank you, Dr. Ingram, for joining us today on the 24 Communications Make It Happen podcast. And for those of you who are new to the podcast, we typically try to interview people at the top of their field. And one of our clients, Central Alabama Radiation Oncology, they certainly are the best in the business, we think, of caring for their patients and providing coordinated, compassionate care. So on today's show, we have Dr. Michael Ingram. Welcome, Dr. Ingram.
Thank you, Callie.
And we are going to get started. I was looking at through your bio, and I see that you went to medical school at the University of Louisville. Did you grow up in Louisville, or how did you end up in Kentucky?
Well, that's interesting. I actually grew up in West Alabama in a little town called Sweetwater. And then when I was around junior high school, we moved to Western Kentucky, where I went to high school. And then I went to college, undergrad, and medical school at the University of Louisville.
Okay. And tell us how you ended up. Did you come back home to Alabama, or how did you end up at Cairo?
Well, I ended up doing internship at University of Louisville. And in between, I did a year abroad in Japan and did college there for a year. Did my residency out in California, finished up there in 1998, and then started looking for jobs. And I wanted to always move back to the South because that's where my family's from. And so I moved back here in 1998, and I've been at Cairo since then.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about, I know one of the things that we kind of talk about with your group a lot is people think, you know, when they're first diagnosed with cancer and they're scared to death and unsure and don't know what to do, sometimes people think, well, I got to travel way far away to get the best care. But you guys have all of the state-of-the-art technology on par with the best treatment you could get in the country. So talk a little bit about what are some of the most common cancer types that y'all see at Cairo and the cancer types specifically that you treat using radiation oncology?
Well, we treat basically everything except curative pediatrics because about 90 plus percent of those go on national protocols. The most common cancers we treat or I treat are usually prostate, head and neck, breast, lung, colorectal. But it's always interesting to see, you know, some of the more unusual cancers. But we basically cover the gamut. We treat with curative intent, and we often, you know, are seeing people that we're trying to palliate and help improve their quality of life.
Okay. And talk a little bit about the technology at Cairo. I know you guys have some new CT machines that have recently been installed in addition to your linear accelerators. So for those who, you know, are looking for, well, everyone is looking for state-of-the-art care and treatment, but talk a little bit about your technology there, what you guys do.
Well, thank you. That's really, in our field, that's one of the things that really can distinguish a group from a different group is the technology they have. And we've been very lucky. We have, you know, state-of-the-art linear accelerators made by Varian, the latest and greatest called TrueBeam. We just bought a CT simulator both for our Prattville office as well as Montgomery. We were one of the first people in the country to get these new Siemens Summitone GoSim simulators, and they are absolutely amazing. They have dual energy. We can do respiratory gating. The quality of the imaging is outstanding. We have on the technology side, you know, we have the ability to do intensity modulated radiation therapy, image guided radiation therapy. We can do respiratory gating. We very commonly do stereotactic radiosurgery. We do what's called SBRT, which is basically radiosurgery to outside the cranium in the body. We do brachytherapy. So we cover a full gamut of technology and technology services.
And so when a patient receives their diagnosis from their primary care physician or whoever that physician might be, and I'm assuming that the patient has the ability to say then at that point, I'd like to be treated close to home. I'd like to receive my therapy at Cairo. Is that correct? Or what drives that decision?
That's absolutely correct. You know, I think there's a lot of advantages to being treated close to home, especially in a place where we have the most advanced technology, because you have less travel time. I find it's a lot less stressful. And if you're at home, you have, you know, you can sleep on your own bed. You have more time to spend with friends, family, pets. I mean, you just, it's a lot more convenient, a lot less stressful when you're at home versus sleeping in a hotel somewhere.
Right, right. And I know from looking at some of the studies and things that we've reviewed that there are certainly metrics that speak to the positive impacts on patient outcomes when they're receiving treatment closer to home.
Are you looking for a creative team who can help bring your vision to life? At 24, we translate brand awareness straight to your bottom line. Check us out today at 24c.co.
Talk a little bit about what the process looks like for someone coming in who's newly diagnosed with cancer, and obviously they're likely terrified and looking for encouragement. Walk somebody through kind of like what the day in the life looks like when they come into your facility as a newly diagnosed cancer patient.
When they first arrive, there's some, of course, a little paperwork you fill out, just like any doctor's office, and then you'll be brought back. You meet with our nurses. We have a great nursing staff, very caring, very experienced. And then you'll meet with the doctor. And before we meet, before any of the doctors meet with the patients, we always review their charts, we review their films, and then we sit down, we discuss treatment options, which is a very important thing to do in cancer patients, is to let the patients know what the options are. And then we make our recommendations. And very importantly, we listen to what the patients want and what their goals are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we review the side effects. We sort of try to, before they leave, you know, we always try to make sure the patient have had all their questions answered.
Right. And how do you personally, you know, encourage people who are coming in to, you know, let them know that a lot of times the outcomes are very positive and you guys providing this state of the art care? How do you personally kind of try to create a bright spot with people who are newly diagnosed with cancer?
Well, I think it's important to focus on the positive. I think you try to sort of encourage them that, you know, we're always gaining new therapies. We're about to be able to enter patients onto these big national protocols. Just like anything with technology and medicine, our cure rates are going up, our local controls are getting better, and we're able to do this with less side effects, actually. And so I think it's just, and then people who were not curable, we still have a great ability to improve the quality of life, to palliate symptoms, and to really help them spend their quality time with their family versus in the hospital or in doctor's offices.
Right. And I would assume that because y'all have all of this new technology and advanced treatment therapies, that in some cases that may reduce the number of treatments that someone actually has to have. Is that a correct statement? I know not in all cases, but.
No, it absolutely is. There's a trend in medicine and radiation oncology to do what we call hypofractionated therapy. A lot of what we're doing nowadays is with stereotactic, where you can treat, you know, one fraction, three fractions, five fractions. We do that for early stage lung cancer very often. And so the number of treatments we're providing is, you know, for a certain type of cancer often is much less than we used to do 5, 10, 15 years ago. And yet we're obtaining better cure rates, better local control.
And explain a little bit, dig in on that stereotactic therapy and some of the other specific things that you do there for the layman who, I mean, that sounds like, that's way over my head, but for the layperson out there who's never heard that term before, talk a little bit about what that means.
Well, in simple terms, it just means that we're delivering a very high dose of radiation to a very focal area. And so we have lots of tricks sort of to allow us to do that and do it safely. because you want to make, if you're doing that, you want to make sure you're hitting what you want to hit and you're missing what you want to miss. And, you know, often, like for instance, with lung cancers, we, you know, what we used to commonly do in 6 or 7 weeks, we're able to do in a week and a half now. And the control rate is extremely good. We're treating, you know, less lung. We're able to stay off the spinal cord, the esophagus, the heart. So people often, you know, and the local control rate for that is extremely good because, well, you're getting a big biological advantage when you deliver a high dose of radiation per fraction.
Mm-hmm. And on the prostate treatment specifically, talk about some of the advancements there and what you guys do to treat prostate cancer.
Well, we are doing what's called moderately hypofractionated therapy now. So we've reduced what we commonly used to give 45 treatments for. We're giving 28 fractions for now. And we're also moving into doing field boost. We're also able to do stereotactic treatment in 5 fractions to certain cases of prostate cancer, where we have the ability to do what's called spacer, where we can put a little implant between the back of the prostate and the front of the rectum to move the rectum away from the field of radiation. So it's pretty exciting what's going on in prostate cancer right now.
And then from the patient standpoint, I know your team, you guys have nurses, therapists, obviously the physicians. How does that all work together when they come in for treatment? How often do they see you and work with the therapist, or what does that workflow look like from the patient standpoint?
Well, most cancers are treated every day. So And from the time the patient comes in to the time they leave usually is about 10 or 15 minutes. So let's say 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. They'll see the doctor every week. Now, of course, let's say they see the doctor on a Tuesday. If the patient's having problems on Thursday, we won't make them wait till next Tuesday to see them. We'll go ahead and see them that day. One of the nice things we have is we always have a radiation oncologist on site, either at Prattville or Montgomery, so that we always have someone there to see a patient if they need to be seen.
Mm-hmm. And I know you guys are in the process of, we've had some conversations with your nurse practitioner, Ashley, there about the cancer survivorship program. Speak to that a little bit about what that is and what patients experience in the survivorship care.
Well, I mean, I think it's useful to have a survivorship clinic because, you know, these patients nowadays are living longer and living better. And, you know, we're very blessed to have a very good nurse practitioner who's in charge of that. And she's able to follow these patients for many, many years. And, you know, if there's ever any questions, that she can always ask one of the physicians. But it's a nice way to, you know, sort of transition going from active treatment to being closely followed. And then as the time goes off, you know, as time goes away from the treatment, we're able to sort of space out more the follow-up with the patient. But it's a very nice way to sort of follow the patient and not be too intrusive, but at the same time, give them the care they need.
Right. And I think that speaks to, you know, kind of the KRO tagline of where compassion meets precision, that they don't just come there and get treatment and then fall off the radar and, you know, you don't see them again, that you guys put in the effort to continue the relationship with the patient beyond just the treatment component.
Exactly. And as we go, you know, both during the treatment and during the follow-up, we're in close communication with the patient's other physicians. So we're very collaborative with their surgeons, their medical oncologists, the pathologists, the radiologists. We all work together.
Right. And I know that you guys are ACRO. You're an ACRO accredited facility. What does that mean and why should that matter to people who are in the process of pursuing treatment options?
I think in general, it means that we have gone through the protocols and that we have met sort of a higher standard of care. And, you know, they have people that come in and review our charts and review the processes. And it means that we're consistently providing care on a higher level.
Okay. And sort of piggybacking on that, talk about where your locations are. And then what do you want people to know in the River region or the surrounding areas who are looking at treatment options and think, oh, well, I need to go to Birmingham to get the best treatment. What do you want people to know about KRO who may think that they got to go to Birmingham?
Well, we have two main locations. One's at 4143 Carmichael Road, right along I-85. And then we have one in Prattville on 585 Jasmine Trail. And, you know, I think we work very closely with a lot of physicians in Birmingham. It's very common for us to get referrals from Birmingham. Mm-hmm. If there's ever anything that we feel like there, you know, there's a higher level of expertise, for instance, if a head and neck patient needs a very complicated surgery, then we work with the ENT surgeons at UAB. So we have a very, you know, we have a very long and good working relationship with those doctors. So I don't view them as competition as much as collaborators.
Right. And I can say, just from having spent a lot of time in, you know, your facilities, working with you guys as a client, the atmosphere is very warm and inviting and pleasing. And your staff, I think, is exceptionally friendly and personable. And I know that makes a big difference when you're, you know, having to go to any healthcare facility.
It does. And I think, you know, that is an excellent point, because I mean, almost every day I hear from the patients how much they appreciate, you know, the caring staff, the friendly nurses, the therapist, you know, because they really spend, you know, the therapists are the ones they are seeing every day. And we're blessed to have a wonderful group of very experienced, technically very good, but very good bedside manner, very good personality therapists. So, you know, that's really where the rubber meets the road. And we're really blessed to have a fantastic group of employees.
Yes. Talk a little bit about COVID-19 and how that has impacted y'all, or what are y'all seeing with relation to that, and how's it affected your practice?
Well, we're trying to get back to normal. When it first hit, I think people quit going to physicians. So we saw a little bit of a drop off. Just, I think all medical practices did. But we're back to, you know, we never stopped seeing patients. We never stopped treating. We follow the CDC guidelines. We're back to where a patient can always bring in a family member or a friend if they need to have someone with them. Mm-hmm. We screen every single patient before they come in every day. We screen every single employee, including the doctors, before we go to work every day. So, I mean, we're really have spent a lot of time and effort on following the CDC guidelines, and that's allowed us to stay on top of this.
Mm-hmm. And for patients who may want to know, you know, are they going to lose their hair with radiation treatment? Do they lose their hair with radiation treatment or no?
Radiation is not like chemotherapy. Radiation is a very localized treatment. So, for instance, if I was treating, a whole brain field, a patient may temporarily, you know, lose some of the hair or all of the hair. But almost always, unless we're treating the head, then they won't lose their hair. Now, sometimes people lose their hair if they're getting concurrent chemotherapy. Mm-hmm. But radiation, the sort of the benefits and the side effects are usually localized to where we're treating.
Okay. And what are the most common side effects of radiation?
It really depends on which cancer and what location and what mm-hmm. we're treating.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, I think that's it for the questions that I have. And I can say, as a Montgomery native, we are super proud to have you and have K-Ro in the River region. Is there anything else you want to tell us about K-Ro that I haven't covered, or anything else you want to add?
No, you asked me a bunch of questions.
I hopped all over the place.
I appreciate it, Kelly.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Ingram.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
This concludes today's Make It Happen podcast. Thanks for listening.